So I'd like to welcome Terry O'Hara to the Triple H Radio Experience. I read this article in the Wall Street Journal, and I was blown away. You are a professional animal communicator. What is that?
Well, it is not a pet psychic. I'm going to tell you that right off the bat. I do not consider myself a pet psychic. I consider myself somebody who uses my intuitive abilities to facilitate communication between you and your animals.
All right, so when did this all start for you?
This started for me as a child. And, you know, I really believe we are all intuitive. I believe humans, as a species, we are intuitive. We have intuitive abilities. And I believe various cultures shut them down, including our culture. We are not taught to meditate as children, as some cultures do. We're not taught to go within and listen to the inner voice, if you want to call it that, or listen to our heart, if you want to call it that. We're not taught to really go into who we are and feel things out. We're taught in this culture, which is not necessarily bad, we're taught to sit in desks and listen to things with our ears and learn in our heads. We're taught A plus B is C, and 1 + 2 = 3, and we are taught to memorize, and we're taught to absorb with our minds and to think and to operate in the world from our minds. But I believe as a species, we are able to and could be, and maybe even bold enough to say should be, operating in the world with our whole being, including our hearts and our intuitive ability.
So as a child, you said this ability to communicate with animals started there. What was the alpha experience? What was the experience that where you said, whoa, there's something here?
You know, it really wasn't until I was a teenager when I said, whoa, the others are not doing it. I noticed that my friends, when you're trying to fit in as a teenager, were not talking about the fact that they could walk into their friend's house and they understood when their cat walked in the room that their cat's belly was hurting and it was the food that they ate last night and that they can't eat that same kind of food again. I feel that as a child in my family, fortunately, as you've probably heard the expression, a creative imagination. As a child, my family never made fun of me. They didn't ridicule me. They didn't tell me, oh, that can't possibly be true. And so I allowed my truth to be whatever I felt and sensed. Was I accurate 100% of the time? No, none of us are in any way, shape, or form. But as a kid, isn't it wonderful when you listen to a child and they tell you things and you think, wow, how did they know that? They didn't know that because they went to school. They knew it because they felt it. Or they might tell you a story and it involves a lot more feelings. And, you know, I don't necessarily mean happiness, sadness, but emoting kind of feelings. And so as a child, I was able to nurture it, if you want to say that. And my best friend was my cat, and his name was Benji. Actually, I named him Benjamin Duke the First. Where that name came from, I don't know. But that's what I named him, and we called him Benji. And he would, my parents didn't know any better back then, and he was not neutered, and he would go on walkabouts, and he would make black and white babies in the neighborhood. And he would disappear for like a week or two at a time, and then he'd come home. And I can remember, I was a baby of six, and I can remember older brothers and sisters whispering in the other room, or my parents saying, oh, she's going to be so upset. He's been gone 8 days. And I would walk in and just have this knowing. I mean, it would come out of me before I thought about it. I would say, oh, he's going to be back on Tuesday. And I didn't stop and say, where did that come from? And they would smile and say, okay, honey. And then Tuesday would roll around and Benji would walk in the door. And I never questioned it. I never thought about being right or wrong or weird or odd. The knowing. And I believe we all have the ability to have these knowings. We just don't know it's okay to speak. And I was brave enough to speak them, and I had a loving family that was supportive of that.
Did this sensation come with a physical feeling?
Good question. Yes, sometimes it's a physical feeling. Usually I'll get a physical sensation when we're talking about their body. So, for example, if a dog is having division, calls me and says, you know, the vet wants to know some questions about what might he be feeling Is it in his lower abdomen, his upper abdomen? I literally will feel it in my body. I might all of a sudden get my lower intestines might just cramp for a second. So I can physically feel sometimes what's going on. I also get emotions. So a dog might, if their abdomen is hurting and cramping, I might all of a sudden get a little anxiety. And I'll say to the person, they tell me that they start to get anxious. They might even tremble a little bit. And what's going on in the lower beating, is that correct? I'll say to the person, and they say, that's exactly what's going on. He's not eating at all, and he goes off of his food. And I say, well, then you have to tell the vet his lower abdomen, his lower intestines are really cramping. And often the vet's appreciative of this kind of information. Nowadays, upon a time when I started doing this, I didn't mention talk to your vet about what the animal communicator said, but now I do.
All right, so you didn't choose this. It sounds like it chose you. It was something that came to you naturally. In the Wall Street Journal article, they used the word psychic. You've been very clear to say, no, I'm not a pet psychic, but I am empathic. I do feel what animals feel. So here's what I would love to know. This is your profession. People pay you to do this. This is not where you started out. I mean, from my understanding, that's not what you thought your career was going to be. So kind of walk me through your journey.
Well, you're right. I wasn't planning on it. And as you saw in the quote in the Wall Street Journal, people ask me, what did you do to become an animal communicator? And I actually tried to not do it because I had a college degree in health sciences. I have a college degree in health sciences. I had a background in the medical field as a medical assistant, and I was on my path, and I was working in a world that I love, in health and wellness, and helping people empower people with health and wellness. More and more, the animals were talking to me, but I didn't tell people about it until I was an adult. And one day, I went and took a class just for the fun of it, and I told one friend what I was doing because I was shy about it. And I told one friend, she's a massage therapist, and she said, well, talk to my dogs. And I said, no, I don't think I can really do it, but I'm just going to go because this person's doing classes on it. It sounds fun. And when I went to the classes, I realized, oh my goodness, I've been doing this forever. This is what I've been doing. This has a name. I didn't even know it had a name. Still not intending to tell anybody, but I talked to her animals. And once I talked to her animals, she, unbeknownst to me, told people about me. And I had complete strangers contacting me saying, I want you to talk to my animals. And I said, no, I don't really do that. I have a full-time job and this is who I am. And I really tried to sidestep my way out of it several times until people just said, please, I'll do anything. I just want to know this. I mean, at the beginning, I've been doing this 27 years now professionally. And at the beginning, people sometimes just wanted to know, does Fluffy like his new dog bed? And does Fifi appreciate the walks? And, you know, is my kitty happy when I brush his fur a certain way? It was just real basic, but it's gotten much more complex over the years because people are aware of it, but also because I'm more open to it. And after several people I helped who told people, I've never advertised ever. It's all word of mouth. So if I do a good job and somebody tells somebody and they hear about me and they call, they say, I've heard about you from my aunt, from my next door neighbor, you know, it used to be one. And now I'm hearing they hear from me from two or three people in their world. And so after doing that for a while, people started handing me money. And I said, no, I'm not doing this professionally. I'm not hanging out a shingle. I'm happy to help you with your animals. And I kid you not, people literally would pick my hand up, hand me money, put it in my hand, close my hand, and say, please take it. It meant a lot to me. So I finally kind of looked up at the sky one day and said, I get it. I'm supposed to do this. I've been fighting it and balking at it. And so I just started welcoming in and started to set a little fee. And people were appreciative. People often paid me more than what I charged. And I joke and say, and then the day came that I didn't have time for my day job. And I just have clients all over now. And I've helped more than 5,000 households in my time. They're all in my database from the very first client I ever talked to.
My guest is Terry O'Hara. Her website is AnimalWise, W-I-Z-E. We'll get a break and come back with more in just a moment. Terry O'Hara is my guest. Mm-hmm. Terry, I am fascinated by what you do, and I want to get to why you do it. Would you tell us maybe a farm story? Tell us a story of your work to give us a snapshot of what it is you do.
Okay. Since you mentioned farm in particular, just to share with the listeners, I do talk to any animals, predominantly dogs and cats house type of household. But yes, I've worked with many horses. I've worked with some farms. I'll attempt to communicate with any animal if I can help. And the reason I do it is for that very reason, to see if I can help. Can I help facilitate something to go better? And so one story would be a wonderful horse that I talked to who was the leader of the pack. And he was taking his job too seriously. And his human said, you know, he's in charge of these other horses, but he's very intense with them and he bites at them a lot and he's hurting them. And these aren't all of our horses. Some of them are being boarded here. And so could you talk to him about calm it down, buddy? You're taking your job too seriously. And he, when I did that, that's exactly what I do. I take what the people say and I use a lot of pictures, a lot of images, because animals talk in pictures in their minds. And so I just started picturing him, as the person was saying it, biting the other horses. And I started picturing him being very intense and bossing them around. and pushing them away from their hay. So I pictured the scenarios. And as I pictured the scenario, he stopped eating because he was standing there eating with his back to me. And he lifted his head and he snorted and stomped his foot a couple times like a proud man going, yes, that's what I do. And I'm darn good at it. And the woman that was standing there was a husband and wife, actually. She first turned to me and said, that's it. That's who he is. That's how he acts. And I said, well, he's proud of it. He needs you to know he's proud of it. And they said, but we don't want that. And I said, but he's proud of it. So let's acknowledge that he's proud. And then as soon as they said, all right, we're impressed. We're really impressed. Both she and her husband stood there at the fence and said, we're very impressed. And we love that you're doing this. And we love that you mean well by it, but you're hurting the other horses. And I said, and now tell him how it makes you feel when he hurts the other horses. We worry about the horses. And they just started using words. They didn't worry about whether he could get it or not. And then I facilitated it with pictures and emotions. I sent the worry energy to him. I sent concern. I sent the image of him calmly walking up to a horse eating hay and nudging him away from the hay instead of biting him or kicking him or hurting him. And I literally just kind of walked through the scenario with a lot of visuals and a lot of emotion. And they called me the next week and said, he has never bitten another horse since you've been here. And to this day, that was like 10 years ago. I still work with him and he has not bitten another horse since. And he doesn't boss around, but he's still proud. And they tell him every day how proud they are and what a good job he does. So sometimes I feel I do this because if I can help something by just helping the communication, which is why I call it I'm an animal communicator. I facilitate the communication with the animals and their people to help them understand what's going well. And if something's going wrong, to help them understand what to do to help it go well.
That is fascinating. Now, what really strikes me is this. If you are that empathic with animals, you see where this is going, right?
Uh-huh.
If you can read animals and send energy through thought, what in the world happens around people?
Well, that is a great question. And if you could see me live, you would see my hand doing an X right now. Because I always joke and say, I don't need people. I don't need people. I don't want to know what people are thinking and feeling. And I don't want to help them with their problems. That truly is just, it's not my calling, if you want to say that. But it is my conscious decision that I don't do people. Because a lot of times people want to know, am I going to fall in love? Am I going to do this? Well, animals are so much deeper and so much more in the moment. And I'm truly helping them become their fullest being possible. I'm not a counselor. I'm not a therapist. I don't want to go down the road of hearing people. But I think another component to your question might be, because people ask me this, so do you walk in the grocery store and you can hear what everybody is thinking? And the answer is, why would I want to, first of all? And it takes a focus, you know, just because I have this ability. It's like if you have a radio antenna, it doesn't mean it's going to pick up every radio station across the whole wide world at the exact same time. And also, you have to turn it on, don't you? It has to be on. And so in order for me to focus and hear the animals, I have to be on. And it does require focus, and it requires being very centered, and it requires permission from the animals. So I do not choose to hear the people, nor do I listen.
Okay, so I'm a pretty good listener. And what I just heard you say is, I don't choose to use my superpowers for that. That's what I heard. You didn't say, I can't. You said, I don't.
That is true. That is very true. Good
listening. All right. So now for people that have pets, you gotta realize I am just coming to this place in my life where I've opened myself up to a deeper love of my pets and animals, period. I just didn't buy it. I was like, dogs don't have like emotions, and they're not trying to really talk to you. This is classical conditioning. That's what this is. This is just stimulus response. This is basic classical conditioning. You train an animal and they follow the pattern, and it's not deeper than that. And then I start reading about dolphins, which is that's the one animal that I love. I really like dolphins for some reason. Their intellect is off the chart. And you see the same thing in chimpanzees. But then sometimes your dog will be sitting there and they'll just look up at you. Or you're having an emotional moment and your dog will come and comfort you or protect or get sassy. And I'm thinking, that just can't be. If you've never been trained to console a person, if you've never been trained to detect an illness, if you've never been trained to do that, how would you know how to do that if it didn't natively exist in the animal? What don't we understand about animals?
I believe what we don't understand about animals is they're not living in their heads like we do. And so everything is different from their perspective. And they also live in the moment. And we're not very good at that. We're getting better. We're getting better in the world, and we're getting better in our culture in particular, I believe, at being more in the moment, being more focused. Once upon a time, that was just a hippie talk kind of thing, which I did in the 70s and 80s. But it is true. The more you get into the moment, even with a child, the more you just stop, take a breath, and be, the more you can receive, the more you'll take in, whether it's a better hug from your child, or whether it's a loving partner looking at you saying, thank you for listening to me, I really feel heard, because you got present. And there's nothing like the power of the present moment, ever. And animals live in the present moment. They don't fret about the past. They don't freak out about the future. They are in the moment. And they also don't overly focus like we do because of our heads and our minds and our thoughts. They don't overly focus on things. So I often use this example where I'll say a person hurts their elbow, and they usually tell people about it all week long. And an animal hurts their elbow, and I say, tell me how your elbow's doing. And they say, which one? Because they're not focusing every single day about pain or about the injury, how it happened, or about how to not have it happen again. They do the moment, and they do their best to just be with everything that is in the actual moment.
You know,
what a gift that is.
Has an animal ever told you a secret?
What's your definition of a secret? Well, you see, if somebody's going to hire me, they are going to empower me to listen to their animals. And I don't screen anything. I mean, I don't shock them, and they don't. Okay, let me tell you this one. You'll like this. Many years ago, when I was only doing consultations in people's homes, I now do it over the phone and over Zoom. But once upon a time, when I only went to people's homes, the woman called for the appointment and said, I'm going to make the appointment. My husband's very skeptical. Do you care if he's there? And I said, I don't care as long as he doesn't want to sabotage the experience. If he wants to sabotage, then he will. It'll work. He will succeed. And she said, nope, I won't let him. And I said, fine. And then I went to the home 5 days later or something, and I didn't even remember the details of that conversation. I don't want to hang on to that. I'm in the moment. I do what the animals teach me. I'm in the moment. And so knocked on the door. She greeted me at the door. Husband greeted me. Nice handshake, nice firm handshake. Looked in my eyes. Felt fine, comfortable. Sat down, and he said right away, is my dog going to tell you how I sit around in my underwear and fart all the time? And I said, no, but thank you for sharing. So that was his fear of his secrets being known. And once he got that fear out into the living room, he laughed. He had a great time. And the rest of the session, he was blown away. It was an hour-long session. I was there 2.5 hours. His wife finally said, honey, let her go now. She has to leave. He's like, this is so cool. Can I ask one more question about my dog or my cat? I think they had 4 or 5 animals. But he started by getting his fear out on the table, and I loved it. I'll just never forget that. I'll always use that example. It was perfect.
That is fantastic. What do you want people to know about? Can pet owners, those who take care of animals, can they get better at knowing and understanding their animals?
Absolutely, 100%. Best way to get better, step out of the way with your worries and your preconceived notions. If you're busy thinking Fluffy isn't happy, then you're putting that decision onto Fluffy. Now, maybe Fluffy isn't happy about something, but we are so good at putting preconceived notions onto them. If we were to just stop and say, I wonder how he's feeling right now, or I wonder how he feels about his new yard, or I wonder how the cat feels about the new cat I've added to the family. Just go into a place of wondering. Isn't that something children are good at? Wondering. Go into a place of wonderment. And then you will naturally fall more into the moment, and you'll naturally become more present. And they can naturally emanate information to you, whether you realize it or not. If I were to say to you, I went on a hike yesterday and there was this gorgeous waterfall, I don't have to say to myself, wait, let me stop you. Let me tell you to wait a minute. I got to stop. I got to visualize it. It was water. It was flowing over the top and it was coming. I don't have to do all that. The waterfall is in my mind the second I say it, right? Well, that's how animal communication works. So if you're saying to your dog or your cat or your guinea pig or your rabbit or your horse, I know you don't like me very much because I talk too much, or I know you this, or I know you that, right? Then you've already emanated that to them. Because you're picturing it, you're believing in it, and you're just being in that energy. So instead, say, I feel really bad that I talk so much when you want my attention. Or I feel bad that I'm laying on the couch too much during COVID because I'm depressed and I'm not getting you on your walks. Just always be honest with the animals. Stay in the moment, be honest, and the magic absolutely happens from there.
How did you end up in the Wall Street Journal?
That was a surprise to me, too. Michael, who wrote the article, contacted me. I didn't know him, but he contacted me, and he said, I would like to do a story about animal communication and pet psychics. May I interview you? And I didn't want to be rude, but my first thought was the Wall Street Journal. Of all the places, and I've had experiences, let's say, over the years where somebody wants to just turn me into a whack job and prove me wrong. And you know what? I've been doing this so long now, I don't have time for that. I just don't. And I'm not out to prove to anybody anything. I don't need to. I'm just following my path, helping one animal, one household, one family at a time. I love to teach. I love to share. But he said to me, when I said to him, why do you want to do this? I looked him up ahead of time, and he predominantly writes about war. He spent time in Afghanistan, and he focuses on PTSD and suicide. So I knew he had this compassionate approach with his writing, and he said, I wanted to do something lighthearted. And I thought, how perfect for what we all need right now, something lighthearted. And he said he sent an email out to family and friends and said, hey, anybody ever worked with a pet psychic? And one of his family members wrote back and said, I've worked with Terry O'Hara for years. I think you should talk to her. That's how it happened.
Wow. How cool is that? Well,
I don't have a marketing person. I don't have a marketing plan. Like I said, I've never advertised. I just trust whatever's supposed to happen happens. And right now during COVID and lockdown and all this, our hearts are hurting and the animals know it and the animals want to help us and the animals want to support us. So I just thought it was lovely. And I thought, well, I don't know what the article is going to look like, what it's going to sound like. I don't know if he's going to make fun of us. And you know what? I'm just going to trust. I'm going to trust it. Hopefully it's going to touch hearts. Because if it does, it'll help. And for those that don't like it or believe in it, fine, go ahead and not believe in it. The rest of your life, if you don't want to believe in a pet psychic or an animal communicator or a psychic of any kind or an energy healer, fine. Don't believe in it. Nobody's out to change you.
Wow, that's really cool. Terry O'Hara, thank you for joining us on the Triple H Radio Experience.